Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Episode 149. You can find... Ooh, I really hit that 9, didn't I? That was unexpected. 149. And you can find any links to this episode in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/... There, I slid into that one. Slash episode 149. So, how are you today? Apparently, I'm a little silly, but maybe you are feeling cool, calm, or overwhelmed, stressed. Are you looking at your day thinking, how is this all going to get done? And I've got rehearsal tonight. I put 3 exclamation points. No, not exclamation points. Question marks. Both exclamation points and question marks after that. So, well, today you're in luck because you don't have to listen to me very much longer. Today we have some folks who know that feeling very well. Today we are talking to and about Do It All directors. We have high school teachers, middle school teachers, and teachers who do both. They have to run both senior and junior programs. And I have to tell you, these are my favorite podcasts. The ones where, again, less of me and more of sharing other people's thoughts, tips, tricks, insights, teachers talking to teachers. And maybe some of these teachers are going through your exact scenario. And you will be able to go, I am not alone. And let me tell you, when I put out the call that I was looking for Do It All directors, there was a tidal wave of response. So pull up a chair and listen to what our guests have to say about their experience and how they handle their do-it-all situation. I'm going to give you a hint. It's all about the students. Isn't it always? All right, let's get to it. Okay, I am talking to you, Connie Voigt. Hello, Connie.
Hello.
Where in the world are you?
I am in Huntsville, Alabama, just south of Nashville.
Awesome. And what makes you a do-it-all director?
Well, I'm the only theater teacher here in the upper school. I teach at a small college prep school. So we have about 380 kids in our upper school. We call it upper school instead of high school. And I'm the only full-time theater teacher. So I'm directing, I'm teaching classes, I'm conducting students in building the set and designing the set and the lights and the sound and the costumes and the competition plays and the... and everything like that.
So what strategies do you have when everything is sort of coming at you all at once in terms of doing it all?
That would be what has just happened in the past few weeks.
What's that?
It really would have. Because on top of everything else, I'm chairing a competition and that's happening this weekend. And then my son got married. Over the course of not just shows and stuff, but I give a lot of the responsibility to the students, especially in stagecraft. The way my stagecraft is structured is I have 4 levels, but they all meet at the same time. So as you continue on into those levels, you learn more and more, and you become crew chiefs and tech directors and things like that. So when we get ready to move our show onto the stage from the shop, those kids each have a specific task to do, and they've kind of come up in the ranks, and so they've like earned that responsibility, and they're very competent, very hardworking, and very talented. And so, they obviously, we have meetings and we converse about a theme and our goals, but I do leave the majority of it up to them. And that helps me a lot because it frees me up to be more of a director than someone who's in the trenches backstage.
Well, and that it must be really it must be a sort of a blessing and a curse to have four levels all at the same time, just because you have to come up with four different things. But then also the younger students, the older students can model behavior for the younger students when it comes to stagecraft.
That's exactly what happens. Stagecraft 2 students will take a couple of freshmen or new students, and they actually help train. They actually help do the safety training, the older kids. But they'll take them and work in small groups. And as they go, as they gain more experience, their responsibility grows with, you know, what they can handle. At first, it might be taking a group of students just to build a platform. And then it might be building an actual structure on that platform. So it does, as you get older, your responsibility gets greater and your leadership, also, leadership skills also grow. So that helps. If it wasn't for that system, I think I would be like a wreck. I don't think we would be able to be where we are in producing the kinds of works that we do.
How long did it take you to put this into motion like that?
It's probably been 8 years or 9 years that we've been structured. I'm trying to remember. It's been at least 7 or 8 years that I've structured it this way. So it's, at this point, it's a fairly well-oiled machine with the kids. They, when they're freshmen and they come in, if they have an interest and they stay in the program for 4 years, they readily learn what will be expected of them as they get older.
Well, and I think that's important to note for anybody who's listening who's sort of at the beginning of their teaching journey, and maybe they're feeling a little bit in the weeds, that it's something that it does take time to set up. If you're going to put students in positions of responsibility like this, it takes a little bit of time.
Yes, it does. You can't do it overnight, you know, unless you've walked into a situation where something like that's already been developed.
And so it sort of sounds like for your shows, it's your students in your classes who are building a lot of the elements.
It is. As far as technically, it's the kids in classes with a few kids that'll come by if they have a study hall during that period, or we have an additional work day on a Saturday or after school. We might kids who aren't in stagecraft class, but 95% of what's being done is being done by those students in class.
Awesome. I think that's an excellent, you know, when people are feeling the struggle, I think that the answer is always right in front of you to use your students and to give them responsibility. And, you know, what a wonderful, you know, teaching moment.
It works really well, and by the time they get to be seniors, I actually become more of a mentor than a teacher. And, you know, that changes depending on what show we're doing and what needs we have and what we need to explore together rather than apart if we're building something unusual. Like last year we did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and that was just like unusual thing after unusual thing. So when you're doing it, but then again, I relied a lot on my students who are really good in science and physics to be building some of the things that needed to be built in order to do the show.
Oh, well, I think that's awesome. Little cross-curricular too.
Yeah, I mean, they can teach me too, so.
Hey, you know what? And I think that's an awesome thing to learn too, is that you don't have to be the expert. You can't be the expert on everything, and that sometimes you learning with your students is not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's actually very, to me, it's a very exciting thing when you don't know something and together you look up the, you know, you research what you're looking for and you find out together. That's just, I don't know. There's something really invigorating to me about that.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, I like that. They just give me a little chill. Thank you so much, Connie, for sharing your time with us today.
You're welcome.
Hello, Kelly Brook.
Hey, guys.
Hi. I am speaking with Kelly Brook Brown. All right, Kelly Brook, tell us what makes you a do-it-all director.
Okay, so my job's a little unique because I'm a teaching artist, which means that I contract with different schools. And they contract me because they don't necessarily have theater programs at their school. So I come in there, we make sure that there's a program, there's a poster, I cast the shows, pick the material, keep up with the budget, make sure that the set gets designed and built and moved in, and that I design the lights, and I sit with the soundboard operator and we plug in sound cues. We sit with the script and make sure that everybody that has a mic is supposed to have a mic. So I get to design sound as well. So there's a lot of elements with my job that we haven't really trained anybody else to do. So we get, you know, in the process of show production, we're also training not just students, but other adults how to feel the process.
I can just imagine the chaos sometimes as you are going into schools without programs. So you're dealing with folks who don't have a background in theater.
That's right. A lot of times we go into a school that's totally blind to theater arts program, which, you know, that can be a blessing and a curse sometimes. I mean, sometimes when you go in with a fresh slate, you get to teach them the correct way compared to when you go into a school that may have a very developed arts program in the past that's taken some time off. And so you walk into a situation where people go, well, this is the way we did it before. So it's not always a bad thing to start with a fresh slate.
So what would you say is the thing that you've learned the most on this job?
Just patience. That in the end, the result is most of the time going to be excellent. The kids are going to be excited. The parents are going to be happy. And the school system and the community is going to benefit. You know, the show doesn't have to be perfect. We're going to miss sound cues. Sometimes the light board's not going to come on. Whatever the situation, you just got to be a little patient and a little bit flexible. And just proud that the kids get the opportunity, even if every show is not to perfection.
Gee, I wonder if that is I wonder if that's one of the most important things a do-it-all director needs, is patience.
Absolutely. I can promise that if you can't be patient, you might need to pick another profession totally, because every day is a challenge, especially, you know, when you're do-it-all, you have to be patient and know that if you're training new people, they might not show up that day. There might be a soccer game they have to go coach. So you just got to be okay with it and figure it out as you go along.
So when you sort of got thrown into this this aspect of having to be a do-it-all, what did you do with the areas of production that aren't your strong suit?
A lot of research, a lot of begging, finding people in our communities that maybe they run the soundboard at their church. We have an excellent community theater here that in our community that, you know, people do those kinds of things. And so we go and ask for volunteers, ask for help. So if you can't come and volunteer to run this light board or set these lights or set these sound cues, can you show me how? It's a lot of asking, and all they can tell you is no. And you got to be brave, I guess.
Oh, all drama teachers are brave, I think. And it's a good thing to have. And then what's something that you find is your biggest challenge?
Just knowledge, I think, a lot of times, about how to make things work. You know, for example, if you're doing Beauty and the Beast and you've got to make that beast transform in X amount of time, you got to have somebody that's either A, got a smoke machine or knows how to do magic tricks or something. I mean, you know, finding the right people and being really careful not to break the magic or break the spirit of the kids because we may not have all of the resources that we need.
Oh, I love that idea. You know, you just got to keep, if you keep the spirit up, then you'll be good, right?
Yeah, always.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you talking to me today.
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Okay, now I'm talking to Joanna Fellows. Joanna, where are you in the world?
We are in Germantown, Maryland.
Awesome.
So we're in the DC metro area.
Yeah. And you consider yourself a do-it-all director.
Absolutely.
Why?
I do our lighting design, our set design, our costume design, our publicity. I run our Thespian Honor Society, our improv club, and I teach full-time. Oh, and direct the plays. Forgot to mention directing. Oh, and choreographing.
You know, just so basically, just basically everything.
Yes, essentially.
So what are your strategies to deal with having to deal with everything?
Very careful planning. I always make sure that I've got my season picked out at least by June of the previous school year. And that allows me to spend a good deal of the summer planning. And it also allows me to give roles to students. And that's been a huge asset, is training kids. You know, hey, Noah, we're doing these shows next year and I need you to be the sound designer. So I need you to start researching. So being able to give different roles to students, give them the time to work on it. And then as well as for me to come up with, okay, we're going to build this. So we need that, that, and that. I try to set up our rehearsal schedule as early in advance as possible. For Laramie Project, I had the whole rehearsal schedule set up in May of last year. That way it's just, I don't have to think about it. Pretty much anything that I can anticipate, I try to get done ahead of time. Because there's so many last minute things, you know, putting the program together, it's always the week before the show that we're putting the program together. You don't want to have anything else on your plate there. We're about a month out from production and we're already starting to add in our lighting and our sound, because when you do it all, you need to be able to be flexible in those last 2 weeks leading up to the production. I can't turn to anybody else and say, hey, we need to get this prop. I have already ordered all of my props. They're all either here or on their way. Just trying to predict what kind of mishaps may happen and get everything accomplished before there's any issues.
I like that. There's the two biggies there, right? Planning and prediction.
Exactly.
You got to look in that crystal ball and kind of figure out what's going to happen. But I'm going to assume that the longer that you are a do-it-all director, the problems that crop up are probably crop up time and time again.
Oh, absolutely. I always kind of joke that I did hairspray my second year here. It was my second full-scale musical that I directed and choreographed and all of that. And I always kind of joke that Hairspray almost killed me, because it did. I pretty much had a nervous breakdown. I lost a bunch of hair. I lost a bunch of sleep. You know, your typical stuff. But after Hairspray, I really made sure that I took some time to not only rest and recover, but also reflect. And to say, okay, now why was well such a disaster? Why did I have such difficulty getting the parents involved? And to be able to talk to some of my students that were involved in the production and say, hey, what would have helped you to get this set piece done sooner? You know,
yeah.
And therefore engaging them in reflection as well. But being able to reflect and then say, okay, now let me apply all of these faults and downfalls to my planning for the next show.
Well, that's the only way that you can grow in this, can't you? Like if a team is just not going to happen, so it is just you, it's like, okay, I would like not to have my hair fall out next time. So I really like including the students it's, you know, you got to do that post-mortem. You got to do that post-show reflection and, you know, let them see that they're helping you.
Oh yeah. And it's, we do IB theater here. I don't know if you're familiar
with
it's International Baccalaureate.
Oh,
it's
yes, yes.
So we just started doing, IB theater. So one of the things that's really essential in the IB model is this concept of reflection. And so it's something that I not only employ in my classes, but in all of my classes, regardless of if they're IB or on level, but also with the production elements and being able to give those kids those production roles. I feel like my job as a theater director is to, A, prepare these kids for college. If they're going to study theater in college, they need to have an idea of what they're getting themselves into. And B, to really nurture a lifelong love and appreciation of theater and of the arts. And I feel like that by enabling them to take on production roles and to do some of the planning and to really engage in thoughtful reflection, that I'm fulfilling those two objectives. My Absolutely. Ultimate goal for my theater department, and we're getting there. This is year six, so we're getting there. But my ultimate goal is that this will be entirely student run. I'm just going to be there and make sure that nothing catches on fire.
How else are they going to learn unless they're going to do it themselves?
Exactly.
I think that's fabulous. I think it's fabulous, and I think that's absolutely the direction to go in, whether you're a do-it-all director or not. I think that having a student-run theater program, I think is pretty fantastic. And all the best with it.
Oh, and it's been so much less stressful. Those first 2 years, I really thought I was going to lose my mind. Because I was trying to do absolutely everything for them. And they didn't realize how much was going into everything. So they couldn't possibly appreciate it. And they couldn't possibly, you know, go into college or go into community theater and replicate it. And I realized I was doing myself a disservice, but more so I was doing them a disservice. So one of the things I've started to do is take on a student director. Sometimes it's more successful than other times, but like right now, the kid I've got student directing, he is phenomenal. And I can say to him, look, Tuesday and Thursday, you are running rehearsal. I want you to do some Stanislavski and some Adler. And then I want you to run act two. And he'll go in and he'll research the exercises and he'll say, okay, we're going to do this Stanislavski and we're going to do this Adler. And then we're going to run act two. We're going to do a soap opera run of act two, because I feel like that'll really help. Great.
Well, and then it puts them in the role of responsibility, and either they're going to do it or they won't.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Ah, that's really great. Joanna, these are some really, some really excellent tips, and we're here to let some other do-it-all directors know that they're not alone in this. And
I love that, because I felt like such an island until I started meeting other people that were crazy as me.
That's what you learn, isn't it? We're
I love all crazy. The theater folk resources. I used a bunch of the lesson plans within the first 2 weeks of my Theater One class this year, and they went over so swimmingly. So, and I'm also on the board of a community theater, and I'm always like sending articles, like, check out this on Theater Folk. We gotta look at this. So I appreciate everything that you guys do as an organization to really support us crazy theater people.
Well, we think you guys do a fantastic job. So that's what we're here for. And thank you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you, Lindsay.
Hello, I am talking to Lee Marshall. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Lindsay.
How are you today?
I am great. I am finished teaching for today.
That's good, and you sound like you're in an excellent mood, which sometimes I know is not the case. We're talking about do-it-all directors. So, what's your story with being a do-it-all director?
I feel like I should probably start saying I am a nothing director. Probably, I got kind of thrown into directing 2 years ago, directing the musical at the school when I didn't teach her yet. And then I got the job after directing. So I guess I did an okay job. And I literally knew nothing about directing. I had watched shows be directed. I guess that was all I had. So I had to really kind of learn on my own about it. So, I think my biggest thing was I wanted to do it all at first. I'm like, costumes, set, props, lights. Like, I had no idea what lights went with what or how to turn anything on. I didn't know how to open the curtain. Let's start with that. did not know how to open the curtain. So I think my biggest thing was every year I just have chosen a different thing to major in. And last year it was set design. So I studied a ton of set design, and we did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I really got into kind of the concept and carrying a pattern through on my set and talked to the kids a lot about that. And so we had some awesome set design last year. And this year I'm like, okay, I'm not really, I'm going to have a set obviously, but I'm not really majoring on that anymore, because I feel like I've kind of learned what I needed to learn from that. So this year I'm really working on the sound, and we're doing Thoroughly Modern Millie. And so I'm really studying up on the sound and trying to hire a guy to actually come and help us with that, because you need that, I realized. And so I think that's my biggest advice is, as a know-it-all, a know-nothing, do-it-all director, is choose one thing to learn each year and really concentrate on in your production, because you really cannot, from the beginning, I tried to do everything, and it just was very overwhelming, and I was way too scattered on my first production to put everything in at one time at the level that I wanted it to be at. So I just know that in maybe 5 years, I will have it at a level that is a little bit more professional, but I'm just going to have to every year kind of really concentrate on studying one area and work on that. And then that'll carry through the next year and pick another area.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to do it all and learn it all at the same time, something has to give way,
right?
Whether it's your sanity or it's a less than up to par lighting. And I love the way that you address it by saying, this year I'm majoring in this. And then just you're looking at the long game.
Right. And kind of bringing some kids along with me too. Like, let's study sound this year and how we can do this. And, you know, because it's definitely a study in it. And the internet is so helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, internet. And also for me, the idea of having a concept for the play last year was great. And we just, with Willy Wonka, we went with kind of this concept of that kind of swirly, hypnotic kind of thing. And that just kind of carried through in all of our set design, this swirly kind of thing. And all of our scenes, there was a swirl. It was almost like, you know, where's Waldo? Where's the swirl? And so that was really fun to carry through with the students, and then to also put in with the props and the costumes and all of that. And I do have a great costume sewer. So I will say that is an area that is awesome, because I do have somebody that can do that here at the school. So I haven't really majored in that yet, but we do have great costumes. But yes, lighting, I know another year I will choose lighting, and I will learn how to turn on all the lights.
Hey man, that's a good step.
Yeah. Turn on all the lights. That would be a good step. Have the microphones all working is our step for this year. You know, baby steps, people, baby steps.
Absolutely.
So, but and the internet, just, I mean, looking up everything and really studying it and bringing kids along with you. Have a sixth grader, you know, I had a sixth grader last year who was my stage manager, and this year she's in seventh grade. So I think she'll be, you know, better at it this year. And we're just all kind of learning as we go along. And by the time I send her to high school, she's going to be the best darn little stage manager in the world.
I love that. That's right. Bring your kids along and baby steps. This is, you do not have to conquer the world of theater in one day.
Yes. Or one play.
Or one play.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lee.
Oh, thank you.
All right. I am talking to Gretchen Thompson. Hello, Gretchen.
Hello.
Hi. All right. So tell me about your experience as someone who has to do it all.
I am the theater department at my school, and I'm also the music department at my school. I direct the plays, sometimes musicals. If we're doing a musical, I direct the pit. And, you know, I'm the band and choir director as well. So it's very busy. And I'm lucky to have lots of parents that help me and some colleagues that help me, and especially the kids. I do rely on them a lot more than I think most teachers might. So
I think that's great.
I ask them to be a little bit more mature. And, you know, we run into something, I have to say to them, guys, if you can't help me do this, we can't do this. So I put it out there for them and they really step it up. So I'm pretty lucky.
You know what? I think that's really awesome because, first of all, the fact that you're not just a do-it-all director, but you are a do-it-all department in more than one department, just shows how much you have to go it alone. And I don't think it's great to hear that you have a great time with it. I think that there are lots of people who are listening out there who might be in the same boat, and to, instead of feeling some stress, the fact that you're like, hey man, this is great, I think that's pretty awesome. And I also think it's awesome that you are asking your students to step up. I think that's a great strategy for a do-it-all director. Yeah,
I find it to be really helpful. It's not failed me yet, thank goodness. I do get overwhelmed, but luckily I think I've learned a lot in the last few years, especially at the school that I'm at. I've learned who will help me well, and when I say I need help, they know I mean it.
I think that's good. That's awesome. I thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's a great thing for our listeners to hear. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm talking to Rebecca Cates. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm exhausted, but I'm great.
You are like in, you have shows going on. You're in competition. Yeah. You're going to competition next week.
Next week. That's right.
So it's safe to say that you are a do-it-all director.
I definitely. Absolutely.
So tell me how are you doing?
I don't know, really. I have people ask me all the time if I have ADHD, and that's what prompts me to constantly spin my wheels. I think I do it. I find the strength to do it just because I know the kids love it. And if I don't, then there's nobody else there to do it.
I think that's a good position that's a good way to think about it, is that if you're not doing it, then it doesn't get done.
Right, right.
So how are some ways that you deal with it so that you don't drive yourself crazy?
One of the biggest things that I do is I have to put trust in the students and delegate some of the responsibilities to them, which I think helps them grow as actors and artists within the theater, because I'm not doing it all for them. They are doing a lot of the work. I delegate costume management to them. I don't have a costume manager on duty. I don't have a costume designer. So I have to train kids to do that. And I don't have set designers, and I don't have tech designers. So I have to delegate those things to students. There's no way I could handle all of that by myself.
No. And it would make you crazy if you did it.
Yeah, it would. Absolutely.
And then how do you handle aspects that maybe you're not, you don't have a firm grasp on, as maybe, you know, if you're like really solid in costuming, how do you handle set design?
Part of my job, I feel like, is if I don't know, I need to know. And I spend a lot of time researching and asking questions and finding the answer to those questions from other people. I think it's part of my responsibility, not just as a director, but as an educator. As a teacher, there are oftentimes we don't know the answers to questions, and it's our job to find the answers to those questions.
I like that, you know, because then it's in the aspect of this is part of the job.
Right.
What advice would you give to someone who is floundering?
Don't give up. Eventually it gets better. You find things that work. A lot of times you fail, and a lot of times you make mistakes, but that's how we learn, and that's how we grow as educators and directors. And don't give up, because there are times that it's hard, and there are times that you just feel like you want to throw in the towel, and you think to yourself, what is this for? But then on those opening nights, when those kids are standing on stage taking their bows and the audience is standing and giving them a standing ovation, that's what it's for. It's for them. It's watching them grow and seeing them love it and talk about how much they will miss it and what a family they have. And that's what it's all about.
That's lovely. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Awesome. I am talking to Kate Olina. Hello, Kate.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So what is your story for being a do-it-all director?
Well, I teach theater to fifth through eighth graders, and every single one of them in the school goes through me for a quarter of the year. And at the end of the 7 or 8 weeks that I have them, we usually put up some kind of a final project. So seventh graders all do one acts, and eighth graders do two shows that are a little bit longer than that. And there's also a tech theater class in eighth grade and an Asian theater history class in eighth grade. And then the fifth graders write their own pieces and put them on for their parents.
And how does that, what strategies do you have to keep all that together that you're working with all these different grades and it's just you who's handling it?
Right. I use my sixth graders and teach them a little technical theater and have them help me make some of the props and scenery and pull the costumes. And I think about it all summer. I read 30 to 40 plays every summer and choose my season, and then try to keep it relatively simple and not do two shows simultaneously that have big sets. Like if one has a big set, the other should have, you know, something relatively simple to move on and off. My other advantage is I have a thrust stage instead of a big proscenium. So I can't have humongous set pieces because they would cover up, they would block the view from part of the audience. And new this year is I got this incredible projection screen. That's a rear projection, and it's 10 feet by 16 feet. So I started to use that as a backdrop. Consequently, I can get any color I want, and instead of using cyclorama lights, and I can get any image I want, and even a moving image if I want. So that saved me a lot of time.
basically, you're using, you know, what some might see the limitations of the space to really help you out when you're the one doing it all. It's like, okay, well, we can't have big set pieces, so we won't. And we've got this screen, so that's what we're going to use. Just using what you have.
Right. And recycling a lot. One year I used all recycled materials for every piece of scenery. So we had to have a great big wall that got knocked down in the middle of a particular play. And we just asked people to bring in their garbage boxes. And we used craft paper that had been used to cover the tables in the art room. And we covered them all with that. And then we wrote graffiti on them. And so the whole set was this big recycled project.
I love that. That's, again, you're using what you have. And actually, I kind of like the idea of craft paper that's been used in the art room as the base for some set pieces. I think that's actually really ingenious.
Yeah, it was really fun because it added a lot of texture and interest to what it, you know, was on stage. So.
So how long do you remember, like, when you started out, that what would you say was your biggest struggle as a do-it-all director?
Learning to sew. To sew costumes was just overwhelming to me. I didn't have any fear of carpentry because I had done it in college backstage. I knew the rules of heavy spatter to cover up mistakes, so that was great. But costumes, I had never learned how to sew. I think my mother had a genetic predisposition for not sewing, and so we just never did it. And my husband actually taught me how to sew because he was fascinated with machines. And he had like a vintage sewing machine that it didn't even have reverse stitch on it. And so I used to sew everything on that, and I used all clear plastic thread, which all unraveled and came out. And so bit by bit, I learned the tricks of the trade, but I would spend hours just sitting on my bedroom floor till 1 a.m. trying to sew costumes. Now, it's so much easier. I'm still not a great seamstress. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to look at my stuff up close, but I get really good-looking fabrics, and I use very simple T shapes and rectangles and that kind of stuff in order to make the costumes. I do a lot of plays that are based on folk tales from other countries, and so the basic shape of kimono is like a T. So if I'm doing a Japanese play, I can just do a T formation for the costumes. And then
it's basically the same shape for almost everything. If you want to make a toga, you can do a T.
Exactly. Rectangles and T's are like my favorite thing.
There you go. There's your
straight
tip.
Stitch.
Your tip for the day is when you have to do it yourself, T's and rectangles. That's
T's
all you need to
rectangles.
Learn. But I guess what it comes back to, which is what you're saying, is like, look, make it simple. Don't do plays with two huge sets. Don't make overly complicated costumes. Just keep it simple and that's going to save your life.
And from Asian theater traditions, I've learned a lot of simplicity. Somebody referred to it as Disney on a budget, because you take a bunch of streamers, you attach them to a stick, and you have the kids run across the stage with them, and you've made a storm. And so you don't have to have electronic effects to create the storm. You just have kids running across the stage with them.
And that makes it more theatrical. That makes it theatrical. Awesome. Kate, thank you so much. Thank you for talking
it
to
does.
Me today. Okay, I am talking to Jared Benn. Hello, Jared.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome. So right before we started recording, we got into an awesome little thing about this whole notion of do-it-all directors, and I'm like, oh, we got to get going. So
yes.
And you were talking about the stress that can come when you've got no one to lean on and being a do-it-all director.
Yeah. You know, there's no question, and I think that one of the misconceptions, particularly among other teacher colleagues, is that, you know, this job of producing theater is somehow easy, because there's what people see are the results of our labor. They don't see the, you know, sometimes years-long processes of putting a show together, making creative decisions, and then implementing all those decisions with a group of people who in a very real way are kind of hugely inexperienced about what it means to create a piece of theater. And I think that people think that it's easy when they're on the outside. And I think that part of our job as theater educators is not just educating the kids and students, but educating the whole community about what it takes to produce something like this.
And the work that goes into it, and that and the number of jobs.
The number of jobs. Sometimes all you need are two hands to help you.
Yes. Yes.
Even if it's just to lift a set piece from one end of the building to the other, or one end of the stage to the other, sometimes that's all you need. And the knowledge that somebody is there to do that for you is a real it's a real stress reliever. And obviously in that case, the more the better.
Yeah. So tell me how you, so what are your strategies with dealing with this stress?
So I think the number one problem or the number one thing that we can do to alleviate some of the stress is communicate as soon as humanly possible. My first job in this, I think, well, I made one of my first tasks in this job that I've been in for 4 years now was to communicate with all of my parents, and let them know the various jobs that are available to them. I have found that the parents that are involved or want, or the parents of my students and cast members are not unwilling to become involved. It's that they literally don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so I think that the first and foremost step should be communicating with them the exact jobs that are needed. And be as specific as you can, whether it be we need somebody who is skilled with carpentry to volunteer sometime, anytime you have, to help us build some acting blocks or to build some canvas flats for us. We will help you with the exactitudes of what those jobs entail. But for now, we need somebody who's willing to come in and say, hey, I can do this for you, or I can help you with this. Listing off as specifically as possible what is needed is an important element. And then I think what winds up happening is you start to develop a culture that's sort of under, for lack of a better term, an underground culture of knowledge of what's needed.
I think that's an excellent way to put it, that people just don't know. They want to help, but they have no idea. A, they have no idea what you do.
Yes.
And or what's entailed. And that they think also, too, because it's like, oh, it's drama. I'm not creative. There's nothing that I could provide. Except there's so, you know, it's exactly as you say, lift this thing from one end to the other. Like that's a huge lift off your shoulders.
Yes, and I'm looking at my shelves of props for Fiddler on the Roof that we're about to produce, and you know, like for somebody who doesn't have help, this looks like a monumental job to organize and put them on a props table in preparation for a production. And I'm sure that there are people who would look at this number of things, tools and benches and candlesticks and things, and be like, what the heck am I supposed to do with all of this stuff? Where does it go? How can we make this function for a show? And just totally stress out just at the look of this shelf. But with help, especially people who might be inclined toward organization or whatever, it becomes a less scary job.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. I think that's really awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, Jared. I think that's I just love the notion of knowledge is king, isn't it?
Knowledge is really king. And the more knowledge you can instill in your community around you, the more likely you are to build a community of people who understand what the needs are. And then all of a sudden you'll find yourself with things being done without you even asking them. And all of a sudden you're developing a production team and you don't even know it by default. You know, so that's the key for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. I am talking to Tricia Oliver. Hello, Tricia.
Hello.
So the thing that you said to me when we were looking for Do It All directors is that you consider yourself a master at this point at being a do-it-all director. Is that right?
Yes. And I am knee deep in it right now, considering we are 1 week away from opening with our Lion King Jr.
Oh my gosh. So for you, what makes a do-it-all director?
Because I get to have my hands in, and I say I get, it's more of a privilege than a job. I get to have my hand in every aspect of putting on a production. And I had some students interview me last week just in preparation of promoting the production. And they said, what's your favorite part? And I said, I'm not sure that I can pick one favorite part. I enjoy all aspects. I enjoy designing the costumes and having a say in what the whole big picture looks like. I enjoy creating costumes. I'm actually working on a Rafiki costume right now that I love. Then I also get to have, you know, put my say in and put my hands on the kids' faces and working on the makeup and all the little aspects, the lighting design, the sound design. Of course, with Lion King, the music's already a part of it, so I don't have to design the music for that show. But having that option, all not just the directing, but to have my hands in all of it.
You know, I think that is an amazing thing to say, that you think it's a privilege, because I talk to a lot of directors or high school directors who are just a little bit frazzled by the whole thought of doing it all themselves. So I love your attitude.
Well, and it may have something. I have an art degree as well. So I'm working on my master's in theater ed, and then I'm also have an art degree. And so for me, that's another outlet for me. That's okay. That's a release. I get to make this costume. I get to create something that goes on one of the kids on the stage. It's not just about putting on this big show, but really putting this whole big picture together and putting it on the stage. And that's, I guess, the producer, the director, the lighting design, and, you know, all those little aspects. I get to do it all, and it makes me happy.
I think that's awesome. So do you, as a do-it-all director, do you use your students to sort of help get things done?
Yes, I do. I have learned over the years to delegate. That was probably a harder concept for me than putting on the show. I will put on a show all day, all night. The concept of letting somebody else do something is more difficult for me because I know what I want it to look like, and I don't always communicate effectively every detail of it that I need to have happen. But I am so thankful now that we are 8 years in to our drama program at the school where I teach. And the first show I got to sit back and actually watch and let the students take care of running the sound and running backstage and doing all of it and allowing the parents to construct. I'll do a prototype and then they'll follow my prototype, and a letting go and allowing the parents to have a part of creating what is on stage. It's in their contract, actually, when they sign up their kids to be, when the kids audition and then they sign their show contract, it's in the contract that the parents actually have to contribute to the production. And that helps take some of that stress of actually getting it all done off of me. But at the same time, I have control as the designer.
That is so interesting. That is part of you're making your show essentially a community effort by saying that parents have to help. Do you get like parents who resist?
No.
Interesting.
No. I have one or two that might have, you know, because of conflicts with work or something, but we try to offer enough different kinds of jobs, like bringing water backstage for the kids. That's not something that requires a whole lot of time, but it's time that somebody has to take to go to the grocery store to buy it and bring it up to the school, make sure it's all iced down. It's not, you know, it's one less thing that I have to do, but it's definitely helps out the students and keeps them cool backstage during the run of the production.
Ah, that, I think that's I think that's really fabulous, in just in terms of, you know, sharing something with our listeners about, okay, if you are a do-it-all director, how do we do this? There's lots of little jobs, aren't there, that you can just say, hey, do this.
Right. And, you know, making sure that it's all, and it's my parents, and I laugh about this, my parents have actually kind of worked their way up to being chairman. It's like it's being passed off as their child grows up and gets older and plays a different role in the program. I have like a parent chair who communicates with the other parents what I need so that I don't have to spend my downtime sending out emails and I need this and I need that. We have a volunteer spot that we use for parents to sign up, and that's essentially a template. We always know that we need water backstage. We always know that we need kid wranglers backstage. We always know we need parents that help with costumes and collect them after every show. Our production that opens in a week, we have 47 kids in this production that are third through seventh grade. And so each of them has a costume that needs to be taken care of after each show. So it's super important that we have that kind of organization. I could spend my time, but I don't have to. And it allows me to do what I do well, which is direct a show.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Tricia.
I am so glad to have been a part of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate so much that you guys took the time out of your busy do-it-all lives to talk to me and share your stories. And if you're out there and you're in the same boat, I hope that you got something useful out of our time together, our listening time and our talking time. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. Okay, so if you are overwhelmed, if you are stressed out, and you're working on seven things at once, and you might get to a class one day and realize, I do not know what I'm supposed to do with these students today. Or you wake up and you go, oh, hello, insane, cold, migraine, insert here, whatever. I'm not going to school today. Well, it sounds like you need an emergency lesson plan. And it just so happens that we have some emergency lesson plans in a collection entitled, very conveniently, Emergency Lesson Plans. We have 20 of them, perfect for enhancing your drama toolbox to leave with a substitute teacher or liven up things on a rainy day. This is an ebook, so it comes in a PDF format, and you can project the lessons on a smart board, print and copy the lessons for your class. Check out the show notes for a link, which you can find at theaterfolk.com/149. Finally, where or where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk, and you can find us on the Stitcher app. You can also subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word theaterfolk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.